This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. On November 20th, longtime Atlanta civil rights leader Reverend C.T. Vivian received the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, from President Barack Obama in a ceremony at the White House. Dr. Vivian was a close colleague of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but he was active in the struggle for equal rights before his collaboration with Dr. King. In part two of our conversation in his home, I asked Dr. Vivian whether he felt either fear or anger during a famous incident in which he faced down the infamous Alabama sheriff, Jim Clark.
Never. I felt sorry for Clark, which was one of the most important things about our movement. We trained in nonviolence for almost a year before we got started, right? So that when we moved, that's not how we thought. We didn't think about revenge. We didn't think about striking back. We thought about changing. Huh? See, somebody has got to convert white America. Right. Is that the Christian church didn't do it. All right. As with at least the Christian church as we've known it. This is one reason we have a Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Right. Is because there had to be an interpretation of the Gospels. And there had to be an interpretation of Jesus and the scriptures that would not even allow that. As an understanding that you can be Christian and a racist at the same time, you see, is that and we were not we were trying to get them to understand, right, that if you're going to have values that live up to what you say are values, you can't be a racist, you cannot be hateful, you cannot be mistreating people. Right. This is why there was a difference between members of the movement under Martin King and some other members of the movement under a different kind of understanding of their condition. Right.
Do you think you're receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom in some way verified what you believed, not to you, certainly, because you already did, but to the rest of the country?
Yeah. One of the great things about Martin, he changed the nation. There's not an institution in America that hasn't been changed by the civil rights movement under Martin. There's not an organization in this nation, except for the Klan, that hasn't taken another kind of attitude. And even I've heard Klan members come off of a good deal that they used to say. This nation has been totally changed. Never has there been such a great change in a great power as happened under Martin in this country.
When you were starting those marches, you from Nashville, and you were involved in St. Augustine marches, you were involved in so many in the early years of what many people think of as the movement, even though it went back much farther than that. Did you think that that kind of change would happen?
Yeah, is that you have to think it to make it happen.
Thinking on that big a scale.
That's right. I mean, is that it's understood that we were about changing this nation. What we didn't take into consideration, that we were changing the world, right? Is that various people began to sing our song around the world, right? Because we were right. And truth is the most important thing that we have to deal with, right? Justice is based upon truth, right? And until people face the truth, they cannot be just.
And so many people at the time thought, oh, these demonstrations are just sort of spontaneous. They're coming out of the blue. They're reactive. You were planning for a long time, weren't you?
Precisely. And remember, we had been, Martin, for instance, Doc started a whole new philosophical organization when he was in seminary in Boston, and had a group of people, both black and white, that was in that organization thinking through how they could use various strategies in order to change the condition under which we live. There was a group of lawyers, African-American lawyers, at Howard University, thinking through how we can and not only interpret the law, but how we could so engage people to understand every part of the law, so that no matter what we did, we knew that we knew when we were going to jail and knew when we shouldn't. See, what you have to understand about Martin is that it was his strategy that made the difference, you see. It's the strategies of the great ones that make the difference. And how well do they live it, all right? See, this is the greatness of Mandela. It's the greatness of Martin. It's the greatness of the outstanding ones like Gandhi. You see what I mean?
You've talked a lot about how important Dr. King was in putting all this together. But what was your role as you look back on it? What do you think you contributed that made such a difference?
I was into nonviolent direct action years before. 9 years. I started to say 10 years. But 9 years before Montgomery. All right. See, the important thing that we have to see there is that it was his strategy was nonviolent direct action. And we who shared it together and was willing to learn it or willing to abide by it, right, were those that were making the change, you see. And the world now has learned that the real change has to come through our understanding each other's humanity. The real question always is, what does it mean to be human in my time? Right. What sense of humanity can I have that gives all of us a sense of love and truth and justice?
That would involve, though, leaders now understanding this, young leaders coming along. You work a great deal on developing young leaders. Are you encouraged, optimistic, pessimistic about the state of the leadership to come here in Atlanta, for instance?
See, I'm never pessimistic about the possibilities of humanity being more and more human, because that's what's made civilization. This is what's made the victories. This is why people's movements have done more than the normal laws, all right? Because people's movements have created the change out of their sense of humanity. The women's movement won. Why? Because of their sense of humanity. Gay movement has won. Why? Because of our sense of humanity, all of us, right? We realize that what it means to be human takes that into consideration. When we ask that question, what it means to be human, that's when we can come by who we really are. When we ask, is God loving? Well, if God loves that which he created and loves mankind, right, and we're supposed to, at one level or the other, or one faith or the other, love God, then we have to be loving his creation, right? Living by any rules of one's humanity. This is what Martin was about. This is what a Mandela was like. This is what Gandhi was like. We're covering all the great continents right now, right? We've already come to that, right? Is that it's up to us to press that. It is not so much the name we put on it as much as the attitudes, the sense of values, the creating the new world. We can't afford to wait to winning people one by one. We've got to change the culture, and people are changed by the millions. In 15 years, Martin so changed American culture, you see, that we changed at a whole nother level. It wasn't one by one, come right down and hear the gospel. And you got to change the whole culture. And this is what we've been doing and still doing and still must do. We have no choice if we're going to fulfill our own humanity. We have no choice if we're going to really live in a world. Huh? We talk about a global community. The economic part of it is secondary to this moral and spiritual level of thought and action.
Sounds like you've preached a sermon or two on this.
I don't have my notes.
President Obama at one point quoted Dr. King mm-hmm. as saying that you were the greatest preacher that ever lived.
Yeah.
Did the president say that to you at the White House? And what was it like being backstage with all those people?
He did. In fact, we were going to do a march. In fact, he said it at the church before we left for the march. And then as he was giving a speech. And then he said it again as we began the march, right? And I didn't say anything myself.
This was Dr. King at the time you're saying that?
No, Dr. King.
No, you're talking about President Obama?
Yeah, Obama, when yes. he was running for office. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't say anything. I didn't respond.
What was it like, though, backstage at the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award?
I want to say something.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Is that preaching depends upon where you are, under what circumstances you are. What are you trying to do for and with people, all right? And basic to it is loving them, right? And it won't come out right. It won't come out at the level it should if those things aren't being taken into consideration. What happens at a given moment causes you to be passionate about what you're doing. So you just can't say, well, I guess I'll go out and be passionate today.
It has to be there organically.
That's exactly right.
What was it like, though, at the ceremony backstage with Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey, Ernie Banks, this diverse group of people? Any story that you remember that comes out of that experience after, a whole lifetime spent working?
I tell you what, it was so marvelous. Speaking of the lifetime, I've been on Oprah. I was the first person on Oprah for 2 days in a row, right? And when we saw each other across this huge room in the White House, right, we started smiling, both of us, and we started walking toward each other. And we held each other's arms and didn't say a word. We just kept smiling. We didn't need to say anything. And we walked away. That, to me, was the most startling thing. But to Obama, Obama is a major personality. If we as black people, for our first president, we could not have created a better choice. There are those that want to put him down. He refuses to hate him, but he doesn't stop working toward his goal, right? And they are almost, you can decide by them from where they live, what their attitude is going to basically be. Of course, they have new words for it. They don't use the same old words that they used to, right? And when you think of any of the great ones like Mandela, any of the great ones like Martin King, like a Gandhi, it's a whole nother level.
Then what is the future of SCLC? You are the president now. It has to move forward into the future after a time of, let's face it, great deal of turmoil in the leadership, a lot of questions about whether it should even continue.
That's precisely right. We have proved that it is continuing, will continue, and nonviolence is a need for our world.
Where does SCLC fit into that?
SCLC is it. There is not another organization in the African-American community that is nonviolent, right? Don't do violence, but that doesn't mean they are nonviolent. We claim nonviolence, right, as the only way to create the new society, continue to create and recreate a new and noble and worthy and just society. Is that you can't do it if your mind is filled with violence. We're on our way toward a higher sense of our humanity, a higher sense of what it means to be just and to be loving and to really be a democratic society.
How long will you be involved as the president of SCLC?
That I don't know, but I tell you, there are so many good people like Bernard Lafayette. You can't beat him, all right, and does nonviolence all over the nation, right? When you know that there are people like that that exist at all, and when you know that a man like Mandela is all over the world press today talking about nonviolence. You see, understanding that what fits our humanity is nothing that even's close to violence, all right? Our humanity doesn't operate on what we've been operating on as a human community. It has to go beyond that for us to be fulfill our own humanity and be worthy of the title of human.
Reverend C.T. Vivian, president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and a recent recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Dr. Vivian, thank you so much for giving us this time. It's been an honor.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Thank you.